The Sermon on the Mount, can you believe it's part 10? No, it's part 12 today. Part 12. We've been working our way through the Sermon on the Mount, just the apex of teaching in God's Word, where Jesus is sharing the ways of the kingdom. It's so wonderful. Today, the section that we'll be looking at, it ends with, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." But the whole teaching has all been the ways of the kingdom. So if you would turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. I'm just going to read through this, and then we'll go back and dig some of the riches out of it. We're going to go reading from verse 25 to the end of this chapter. So verse 25, and this will be the word of the Lord. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life, the life, more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." I have like a subtitle for today's teaching, and it's "Therefore." To understand this section, it starts out with "therefore." And this word "therefore" in the Greek, it means "because of this" or "on account of this." So to have an understanding of this section, "on account of this" or "because of this," we really need to look at what comes before it. And that's what we looked at last week. First, let's see here. Verse 19. I'm going to read what we looked at last week. "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And here is especially the point that the section we're looking at today rests on. Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. We looked at mammon, and that's a man's wealth, his resources. And it's almost personified. And for some people, it's deified. What does that mean? They make it their God. They make it their God. I want to think, if we look back, lay not your treasures up on earth, where moth and rust, and it really means eating, doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. If I'm making mammon my God, my wealth, my God, will I worry about moths eating and rust decaying and thieves breaking through and steal? Is it a consideration? We'll put it that way. But if I'm making God my master, and when it says a servant serving mammon, you cannot serve two masters. That word serve really means to be a slave, a bond slave to. Where you would be a bond slave to mammon, or you would be a bond slave to God. A little bit of backstory about a bond slave. A bond slave is a slave because they want to be. They're offered the chance to leave. They fulfilled their requirement. They can go. And the bond slave says, no, I shall not leave my master because I love my master. The master of a bond slave is responsible for taking care of that bond slave. And then they would take their ear on a special post and they would put a hole in it, and that would signify that that person is a bond slave, a doulos to the master. But when we think of slavery today, we think of the terrible slavery from the South. This is not what this is. It's a bond slave. And when we look at this, this next section is all about worry, anxiousness, preoccupied thought, a distracted thought, a thought that's so consuming that it distracts you from what you want to do. So verse 25, therefore, and in that this whole section must be understood in light of you cannot serve two masters, for either you will hold to the one or hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. He is preaching to the children of Israel. That's who he's preaching to here. Therefore, I say to you, take no thought. That doesn't mean we don't think. I've met people like that. I've been people like that. No. Take no thought means that preoccupied, overly consuming thought, and some translations even put it as anxious thought. If it's so consuming you that it just paralyzes you because of what else you want to focus on. It's rampant in our culture today. This section here where it says, take no, I'll just say anxious thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? This admonition here to take no anxious thought belong solely to the one who has made God their master and serving God. These things don't apply to those who have made mammon their master, where they serve their mammon, and also where they trust in their mammon to be their sufficiency. So this is talking, this section here, it's a command. It's a command. It's in what they call the imperative present. It means it's a command to take no anxious thought. This is what Jesus is teaching. It's a command. Take no anxious thought. This section only applies to those who make God their master and serve God and God alone, because you cannot serve two masters. When we look at this, if we are a servant or a doulos, a slave to our mammon, our thoughts will be attentively occupied, overly concerned, and anxious to serve our mammon. If we are a servant or a doulos, a slave to God, our thoughts will be attentively occupied to serve God. If we are a servant to mammon, we will endeavor to trust in our mammon as our master and our sufficiency, and that would yield being overly attentively occupied and worrying about our mammon, our wealth. We'd be occupied about our wealth to preserve our own life. But if we are a servant to God and He is our master, we will endeavor to trust Him as our sufficiency. And why can we do that? Because we belong to Him. And He is responsible for taking care of us. Boy, what a relief when you see this. I think it's interesting. It comes on the heels of the section. If we are attentively occupied or even anxious about laying up our treasures here on earth with the moth and the rust and the thieves, that would yield worry. That would yield a distracting concern. But if we're attentively occupied with laying up our treasures in heaven, do we worry about the moth? Do we worry about the rust? Do we worry about thieves breaking through? No. So this section is dealing with those who have made God their God and master and serving Him, knowing that He is our sufficiency. And then Jesus gives these wonderful three examples, and we'll look at them. Therefore, I say unto you, take no anxious thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, birds, for they sow not, they do not reap, they do not gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Of course we are. We're God's children. We're God's people. He's our God. And yet, look how graciously and wonderfully He takes care of the birds. That's because I have the bird feeder right there. I'm sure that is even God's urging. Verse 27, which one of you, by taking thought, that's an anxious thought, or preoccupied, overly preoccupied thought, a distracting thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And for years I thought this was talking about me being able to get taller. And it's really not what this is talking about. It's really to increase your span, or I believe most scholars really believe now that it's talking about your lifespan. Which one of us with overly preoccupied thought, overly distracting thought, over anxious thought can extend our life? Actually, what happens when you have anxious, worrying thoughts about your life? What does it usually do to your life? It shortens it. But why can we take no anxious thought? Because we belong to God. He, God, and God alone is our master, our sufficiency, in whom we trust. Boy, if we're trusting in our mammon, how quickly can that be yanked out? In 1929, what happened to so many people that were trusting in their wealth? It was beyond their wildest dreams that they would one just overnight be penniless. And there were some who couldn't even handle it, jumping out of buildings. Because those things on this earth, our treasure on this earth, can be taken away from us in a heartbeat. Verse 28. And why take you thought for raiment, your clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Do you see the comparison? What are the birds? The birds don't sow. The birds don't reap. The birds don't gather into barns and they're fed. How much work does a plant do? It doesn't toil, it doesn't spin, and yet this glorious adornment. This is what Jesus is pointing out. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And then we have wherefore. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? And then he reiterates the whole introduction again in verse 31. Therefore, why therefore? Therefore goes back to what he's talking about here. It goes back to making God your God, God your master, and serving him as a doulos, as a servant of God, being occupied with him, being occupied with the things of God. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? And then verse 32, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles, who are they? They were not of the children of Israel. They were not of the people of God. It's so, when you look at what God says about the Gentile believers before they were born again, they were aliens of the commonwealth or the citizenship of Israel. They were strangers to the covenant of promise. They had no hope and they were without God in this world. All the Gentiles do seek food. All the Gentiles do seek clothing. All the Gentiles seek that their life would be extended. And your Heavenly Father, it says in verse 32, your Heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He's not oblivious to our cares and concerns of our daily needs. In fact, he's very attentive to it because we belong to him. And if we belong to him, he, as our Lord and Master, our God, belongs to us too. He is our sufficiency. It's him whom we trust for our daily needs. And God knows that you have them. He knows we have needs. He knows we need to eat. He knows we need to have shelter. He knows, in our day and time, he knows you need a car to get from point A to point B and then back. He knows all those things. And he says all those things, the Gentiles, those who don't even have God, they need those things. God knows you do too. And then verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Be occupied in thought about God. Be occupied in thought about the kingdom of God. And all these things, all what things? Food, raiment, extending your life, all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, verse 34, take therefore no thought. What kind of thought? Anxious thought for the morrow, for tomorrow. For the morrow or tomorrow shall take the thoughts for the things of itself. I want you to think about a time in your life where you so worried about tomorrow. Worrying about tomorrow. This could happen tomorrow or that could happen tomorrow. What if that happens tomorrow? What if this happens tomorrow? And then you get to tomorrow and guess what? It didn't even happen. Or you're so concerned about tomorrow, you screw up today. That's my MO. I work on these things too. I haven't arrived. This is to me. But sometimes we can be so consumed with tomorrow that we lose track of today. And he's saying, you know, the thoughts for tomorrow will take care of tomorrow. And then he goes on, for the morrow shall take the thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Taking care of today is a lot. If I have anxious thought about tomorrow, I'm not taking care of today. And it all goes back to, therefore, you cannot serve two masters. For you'll hate, love the one and hate the other. You'll hold to the one. You cannot serve mammon and God. It goes right back to that. The Gentiles didn't qualify for this statement that Jesus made because they didn't even believe in God. They were without hope and without God in this world. Those who focus on their wealth as their sufficiency and trust in that, this isn't for them either. Or those who think they can ride the fence and trust in their wealth and trust in God, you cannot serve two masters. Jesus made it pretty plain, but we try sometimes. This section here where we take no anxious thought is for those who are worshiping God and serving God. This applies to those only. Turn your Bibles real quick to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. We'll see this anxious thought word. Merimneo is the Greek. Chapter 4. This is a church epistle. And may I say this also, when we read this section, it's in the imperative. It's a command also. It's a command. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Where is he? He's at hand. Be careful. And that's our word. Take no thought. Be careful. Take no anxious thought. For nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto whom? God. Do you see how this is? This doesn't apply to the unbeliever. This applies to those who trust in God. Do you pray to something you don't trust? It's kind of foolish, isn't it? We pray to God. We rejoice in Him. We rejoice in Him even if we don't understand everything. We rejoice in Him even if it looks dark. We rejoice in Him if we think we're going to about get clobbered with things. We rejoice in Him because of what He has done. We heard that today by way of the Spirit. What did He do? He sent His only begotten Son to save us and to give us eternal life and to give us a relationship with Him. So even in those things that are so overwhelming, rejoice in the Lord always. Let your moderation, your way, be known unto all men. The Lord's at hand. And be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So this is a wonderful admonition from our Lord in chapter 6, rounding out chapter 6 of Matthew. That section is exclusive to those who have God as their God, God as their master, who serve God. The rest of the world, they're going to be full of anxious thoughts. They're going to be full of preoccupied, overly attentive thinking on things. They're going to be consumed about what's going to happen tomorrow. They're going to be consumed about, do I have enough to eat? Is there enough in my freezer? Where am I going to get the clothes? What about my kids' clothes? What about them? This admonition to not be anxious is for the one who makes God their God and God alone their God. So when we look at this, we see this great sharing of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the kingdom. We seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be, it's absolute, shall be added unto us. I walk away from reading that and I am comforted. I'm comforted and I'm excited and I'm so glad that God is my God and that Jesus is my Lord. And he's sharing this, and we've got a copy of this to read that teaching. We got the transcript of like the teaching of teachings. Remember what they said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount? They were astonished by his teaching. For he taught with authority, not as the scribes would teach. This is the type of teaching that we can take and we can believe it and we can trust it because God is our God. Is God limited in understanding? No. Is God limited in power? No. Is he limited in love? No. Is he limited in goodness? No. That's how we could possibly not have anxious thought, is that God is our God and we belong to him. Amen? Amen.